It is straight up at 8 o'clock. It's a Tuesday edition of the Mornings with Ed show. Welcome to the program on an absolutely gorgeous Laguna Beach morning. And as I bragged about it often, when the sun comes through these colored glass, it sets off this beautiful kaleidoscope on the artist wall that I have over here. Speaking of artists, by the way, I don't know an artist in town that is more my favorite. She's been on the program before. I've loved her work for several years. The moment you realize who she is, you're also going to go, yeah, I love that stuff. And how many names am I calling you here? Laura Hess Curtin Ross. Is that what I'm calling you
That's
this morning?
That's plenty of names. It's just Laura Curtin, and I added the Ross.
Well, congratulations on adding the Ross. That's a fine guy you added there to your life.
I did. Yeah, I'm very lucky.
We had Bob on last week. Bob, an amazing artist in his own right. But today, this is for me. Now it's an extra surprise. You just told me about goats you're doing. So Laura, by the way, if you know, Laura does magnificent wildlife, does really everything, but magnificent wildlife. And what catches my eye, what first caught my eye was within a few elephants, one of them, the baby elephant, was pink. And then within a painting of some pigs, there was a pink one. Laura, we know who you are now.
Right, now pink elephant lady.
The pink elephant lady. Now you're working on goats. Tell me about the goats you're working on.
Well, every year I can't just paint pink elephants, right?
I don't mind if you do.
I do. I paint them because that's, you know, people love the pink elephants.
Yes.
And I love the pink elephants. And pink elephants do represent a form of love to me. And recently I've been thinking how we're all born a little pink inside,
right.
You know?
Right.
And then we grow up and we all get kind of gray and wrinkled, you know? And we spend our whole time trying to get pink again,
right.
You know, just that youthful inside, happy pink. And so I keep painting my pink elephants.
Right.
But
don't ever stop, please.
I won't. But still, I have to every now and then paint something else.
Okay.
Usually at least once a year, I'll paint an animal like a wolf or a bear or something that says, look, see, I can paint regular. I don't have a problem painting regular. You know, it's like I put it up on the wall and say, oh, here's a regular painting. And then I'll paint something else. The first year I painted cows. I painted cows that, were just happy and colorful, different
right.
colored cows.
Right.
I painted them on stripper poles and and the similar like that.
Right.
And I had somebody come from Switzerland and he bought all my cows. And every year I paint him a cow and send him a cow. The next year I painted the pigs.
Right.
Like you
right.
saw them.
And Anne Marie has Rosie up on her office wall at the city clerk's office.
Right.
Yes.
So yeah. Well, that's good.
Yes. Right. Really beautiful. There's a great story that goes with it too.
Oh,
it's cool. It's the lipstick
like
on a pig
that.
Thing.
That,
yes.
Yeah. That's a great place for it to be. I love finding that stuff out. And so I painted the pigs. I have a flying pig. I have pigs with lipstick, pigs with pearls,
right.
You know, and so the next year, I painted chickens.
Right.
I have chickens on skateboards and roller skates and parasailing and chickens in Paris, which was actually a self-portrait I did of Bob and I on our honeymoon in front of the Eiffel Tower
right.
and with a couple that we met. And we're all chickens.
Oh, how very
doing,
cool.
Doing a selfie, because I really do selfies all the time. So that one's really fun. And surprisingly, I didn't think anybody would buy that one. I mean, it's almost like a personal painting, but when people see that Eiffel Tower,
yeah.
they love that.
And the fact that you gave them personalities, the fact that you
yeah.
gave them your personalities
oh, yeah.
is just deep.
Yeah. They all have to be what they are.
Right.
You know what I mean? They have to have what they're doing is what they are. So this year now, the long way around to the goats.
Uh-huh.
This year's goats,
right.
And I started off with, you see all the baby goats doing yoga and all that stuff, and they're just so darn cute, right?
Right.
So that's where I started. That's kind of how it always happens. I'll start with something, and then it kind of morphed into something else. It's Billy and the All-Goat Band.
It's a band of goats. I love this.
they each have their own, their own painting. And there's, you know, Billy with the guitar and Styx with the drums and Saxy with the saxophone. And there's standing bass. And I don't know if you've ever seen guys that play the standing bass will occasionally stand on the bass.
Okay.
They stand on the bass. They
will hold it and then kind of like balance themselves off to the side.
Yeah, they balance themselves. It's it escapes me right now, the kind of music that is like a rockabilly.
Okay.
A lot of rockabilly. That's because I started researching these.
Of course.
And I saw these guys standing on the bass. I'm like, my goat could do that.
You know, goats are better climbers anyway.
Yeah, goats would do that. So I did that, and a piano player. There's a piano player, right? Yeah, I think there's five. And I do want to do the backup singers.
Okay, perfect.
I haven't done them yet. They'd both be on the same page. And when I was looking for names for these guys, like, you know, I was on the internet. I'd started a grocery list, and I didn't think about it. And then I started writing down different names for the different band members and stuff. And then I thought, I should do the backup singers. And I looked at my list, and the top name was Half and Half. I went, I already have a name for them.
Very cool. So why the draw to, and when did the draw to animals happen for you at first? When the very first thing you decided to paint, perhaps, or draw as a kid, was it always animals for you?
No. I had started painting when my mom had a bookkeeping business, and there was a painting teaching art gallery that she was doing bookkeeping for. So I knew I could paint. So I started there. I started with landscapes, and I did landscapes and seascapes and portraits, and I did pastels, and, you know, I took classes from everybody that taught there. And I was taking a portrait class from a guy, and he was showing us with a certain brush how to do hair. You know, just regular hair on a portrait. And I did that. I did that portrait with that brush, and I went, I could paint fur with this.
Oh, it's that brush. It was all in the brush then.
It was.
Oh.
It was. They don't even make that brush anymore. I still have some. They're hard as a rock. I keep waiting for the miracle cleaner to come out so I can make those brushes work again, because I've never really found one that is like that. So that's how it started. And I never looked back. I was doing portraits at the time. And you know what? People expect those to look like them.
Right.
It's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure with portraits.
I want to ask you about the brushes again, though. So you found these brushes that you were successful doing hair with.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden they vanished from the face of the earth, and they don't sell or make them anymore?
Yeah, they were very inexpensive brushes.
Right.
And the teacher, he got them from Korea. He was Korean. And they were called Chinese hairbrushes. That's what he called them.
Well, of course.
Yeah. And there was in sizes, there was size of 4 to 8 or 12 or something. So those aren't big brushes. These brushes are small brushes. And I would get them from the teacher, who's still around, but the brushes aren't. Sadly, they don't make them anymore.
So you've made the transition. You went from all of those other things that you started with and seascapes and everything, and then went into animals. And now you married Bob Ross, who is one of the foremost photographers of wildlife that we know.
Yes.
So the connection to animals has grown even more for you through him?
Oh, yeah.
Or is there just that mutual connection that you both have always shared? And
we both have loved animals. Now I just have a better source of reference material.
Right.
He has 350,000 pictures. And I'm probably understating it.
Right.
He's been there. And when I met Bob, I had not traveled really anywhere in the world, just in the United States and you know, the close by Hawaii and all of that.
Right.
And he vowed to show me the world. And the first place he took me was to Africa.
He's a baller.
He said, you have to see the places you've been painting. You know, I did thorough research of my paintings so that it felt like I knew, but it was never like the magnificence of actually seeing elephants and lions and stuff.
Right.
Oh.
So to see one up close in the wild, right. It must have just changed everything.
It did. It was different. And then to paint my own photos, you know, instead of somebody else's stuff. I took a lot, you know, I took so many and videos and all the stuff. Yeah, it was exciting. It was very exciting to be there.
When you capture something, and for me, it's I think the ones that speak to my heart the most about your paintings are the families, the mother elephant with the baby elephant, is that dynamic?
It's love. It's all about love.
And that's what it seems like.
Love is the answer. That's where I'm at nowadays. There's still all this stuff that goes on. Right. You know, you still have sadness and strife but Bob showed me that love is the answer. Right. I'm just, anytime I start getting, I know this sounds so corny, but it's so true. Funny. It's like, anytime I start feeling bad, I'm still gonna feel bad, but I know that Bob loves me more than anything in the world. He loves me and I love him back. It gives, when somebody loves you so unconditionally and they love you so much, it allowed me to finally love somebody else the way that that I always saw in the movies and said, oh, you know, that's really cute.
I wish I had that.
Right. You know, but that's never what's going to happen for me. I got lucky over here and I'm not going to get lucky there, but that's not what happened. Late time in my life, you know, that I found that. In all cases, no matter if you have to answer a problem with loving yourself or answer a problem by loving the other person, it's the answer.
Right. Well, that's beautifully stated. Absolutely magnificently stated. And if anyone, the people that know you will agree, yes, you see the two of you together, you feel that dynamic.
Yeah.
And in the warmth of your paintings, we also feel that love. We feel your love for the subjects, whether they be goats or elephants or pigs or whatever, we feel your, but we also feel that love coming off of the painting itself.
I hear that from people,
yeah.
You know, and it was an unintended consequence.
It really was.
And I was surprised and happy. And every day that I sit in my booth and paint and people walk in and laugh and look at my paintings, half the time they don't see me because I'm sitting behind my easel or something. Every time that happens, it always affects me in a positive way. It makes that whole thing, like it goes to them and comes back to me. It's amazing.
Have you ever painted while angry? And does the painting look different? And have you not used it or put it out? Or have you ever had something like that?
I painted during when I had COVID.
Okay.
And that's pretty wild. That one's up on the wall. It's really bright. It's like I couldn't see or something. When I got done, I went, oh my goodness, this is a really pink elephant. But I painted through everything.
Right.
I paint through everything.
You mentioned the love that you and Bob share, and Bob, we this morning have been learning that Olivia Newton-John, we just lost her. She's a battler. She had breast cancer back in the early 90s that she battled and fought and won, and then came down with spinal cancer in 2017. Bob helped you through your cancer.
Yes, Bob was more worried about my cancer than I was, because when I was diagnosed in 2019 with breast cancer, it was, you know, it's always a shock, of course. You go do tests, and then they say, oh, can you come in tomorrow or today? Can you come back? And then you go, oh, okay. And you go back, and then somebody sits you down and says, you have cancer, and you go, you know, kind of numb for a little while, and then And then I went through Hoag, which was, they were spectacular. They hand you a book and it's got different sections of what, you know, the things that are going to happen to you and what to put there. And then they send you out to the desk and they set you up with your next appointments and your next doctors. And you kind of stand there. I stood there and kind of held on to things and just like went along with the program. You know, I would just like, so I would do that. And we were getting married.
Right.
I was diagnosed a month before our wedding. So, and then it ends up I have bilateral breast cancer, which is in both breasts. Okay. So, it takes a lot of, really aggressive. Okay. Some women get super aggressive breast cancer, and there's no waiting. They have to do stuff right then.
Right there.
And mine was more, it was less aggressive than that. So things could be, they could put it all together. So we put it all together. For after the wedding, right. We waited and went on our honeymoon.
Okay.
Right, you know, in 2019, we were lucky to, you know, we got our wedding, we got our honeymoon. I came back and had my birthday. And then I went in for surgery for then. And I thought, you know, because it all just, you know, it was so strange. It was just, I just did whatever, you know, what they said. And I just kept following along and doing what they said and went in for surgery. I thought, well, this has all been easy. I'll just be done, right. You know. And they did intraoperative radiation therapy, which was new and to the United States.
Okay.
Not in Europe. And what they do is once they have gone in and opened you up, got all the cancer, they put in balloons with radiation where they close you up,
right.
And then they give you high doses of radiation during surgery. And then they open you back up, take them out, do all the reconstruction.
Was it invasive? Is that an invasive procedure?
What I had was, yeah,
okay.
Yeah, definitely. They had to go in and, yeah,
right.
Because it wasn't. Small in one side.
Right.
One side was, there wasn't a lot, but the other side was quite a bit. But they give you the radiation therapy, so you don't have to go back for radiation. Like there's I think it's 5 or 6 weeks of every day on some, you know, when people are doing radiation therapy. And I could be very wrong about that time frame because I didn't have to do that. So I was lucky. I went in, I had the intraoperative radiation therapy. They, you know, they did all the reconstruction and, you know, I was out. I thought I'd be right back up, but it took me a month, you know, to come around, kind of,
right.
You know,
right.
To kind of all, you know, start feeling normal again. And now I'm coming up on in November, on 3 years.
Absolutely wonderful to hear.
Yes, I'll do my. They have to always do the MRI and all that
right.
stuff, and that's in September. And
you look fantastic.
Thanks.
First of all,
yeah,
you look as
great.
Healthy as I've ever seen you look. You look
I'm
great.
I'm happy. I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, it's. I don't even think about it.
Right.
Every once in a while, you
yeah.
know, in that self portrait of the chickens in Paris, I've
right.
got the little bow. You know, in the painting, I put on the breast cancer. Bow on my shirt because I wore it. I was so, you know, that on the honeymoon, it was before my surgery and everything. And I was just like, everything was cancer. Oh, and then I've been donating to breast cancer forever
right.
for one of my girlfriends, Gail. She does a lot for breast cancer. So I'd been giving her the prints to auction off for years. And then it became personal.
Right.
You know, so now I give to breast cancer. Plus I give money to breast cancer. Plus, you know, it's like, ah.
Well, they do amazing work, first of all. They do amazing work.
Right.
And for someone who is not in a position to pay for a lot of the treatment and is not well insured, they help there as well. So they do amazing
work.
Yeah,
that's really good.
Yeah.
Yes, fortunately,
I am delighted that you are 3 years clean, as we say.
I hope.
Yeah. And love, love had a lot to do with getting you through it. And
Bob was there. Bob was so worried. He tried to be so good. He was so worried. So I kept up a straight face or
right,
whatever
right.
you call it, because he was so worried.
Right.
You know, his wife that passed away before that, she had breast cancer.
Right.
So, and his wife that he, his first wife, she had also passed away and she had breast cancer. So when I came up with breast cancer, you know, he was just out of his mind, right, in his head. He was not doing anything weird to me,
right,
except loving me like, right, he does.
But you, yeah, there's a panic. There's an inner panic that I'm sure he didn't want to let out of the bag.
Right,
but,
yeah, he didn't sleep well for a while.
I'm guessing so. But. So tell us about Art Affair. You're at Art Affair this year.
I'm at Art Affair. So, I'm always at Art Affair when it's open. I love Art Affair. I love Art Affair.
And this year is as good as it's been. It's been a great year.
Always.
You have fantastic artists. By the way, one of the artists there, Heather Reichard, made the Silver Tongue Award that we awarded the Takeover winner, Peter Blake, who won the Takeover.
Amazing. She's an amazing artist. Yes. All of her little... statues that she makes. She's got these roller skating ones. My sister just loves to roller skate still. You know, I'm just like, I've been eyeing these and they go faster than I can make up my mind. I think I'm going to get that one and then I'll go back and then it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, she's amazing.
And I find that every single piece she does is just better than the last. I really love her stuff.
I do too. It's so whimsical. It's just right up my alley.
How many artists do you guys have there this year?
I think that this year there's 110 or so.
Okay.
About that. And the art is always the best art. It's always really good. There's so many people that are selling piece after piece after piece. You know, it's like... the beauty of artists, like when I talk to people in my booth, they always tell me, you know, this is really a great show. Right. You know, I didn't know you were here. It's such a great show. And the artists are so different. And I said, yeah, these brains, can you imagine? You know, I know when they look at mine, they think, what kind of brain is she living with? You know? But still, even when you go around and you see the intricate stuff or abstracts or the beautiful statues and, you know, different things people put together, you just wonder where these people get these ideas.
When you roll through whether any one of the three festivals going on, when you roll by an artist's booth, what is it you look for? What do you want to hang on your wall? What kind of stuff attracts you?
Oh goodness, you know, I do like Heather's stuff, and there's another lady in there who paints gourds.
Okay.
But she paints them like people, like little round, you know, fat women.
How very cool. Yeah.
And they have polka dots on them. And, you know, I just attracted to like a lot of the whimsy stuff.
Right.
There's people with, I'm sorry, I can't think of it.
That's
Root.
Okay.
He does the hanging things, you know, there's.
Like the macrame type stuff?
No, not macrame, but. Oh gosh,
that's terrible. It's okay. Well, that's all right. We'll have the listeners call in and guess what you're talking about here.
Yeah, because they can't see my hands, right?
Call in and guess what Laura's talking about.
Laura's waving her arms around about.
It's a good dance, you know. If I could lay it to music, it'd be a great dance.
Oh, and there's a lady that does scratchboard in there too.
What is scratchboard?
It's like a black canvas, and she scratches the lines into it.
Okay.
And so, like, she makes these beautiful animals. They're just, you know, all kinds of animals and other things, too. Like, right now she's doing a hand with some grapes, holding grapes and stuff. You know, she does every line in the palms and all the things. It's scratched into this black.
Oh, very cool.
Scratch board. And then, because I've never done it, so I'm not quite sure how she accomplishes this magnificent piece of art. But then I believe that she goes back and paints it at, you know, after she gets all the scratching on, because so far I don't see any color on this new piece.
We'll see if there's any color. We'll keep an eye on it and see if there's any color.
Beautiful. There's beautiful. You know, I love the ceramics.
Okay.
You know, the ceramics are, I love glass.
Have you ever tried to do a ceramics piece? Have you ever tried that mode of art?
Okay. It didn't go well.
Okay. I don't see a lot of hand gestures there.
No. Shaking of the head. No. I had a friend who had a potter's wheel and a kiln and stuff in her garage, her own studio. And she's like, come over. It'll be fun. And I was like, every time I did it, it went like that. You know? So, but it's beautiful. The ceramics. the glass too. I just love glass. Right. So it's like every year there's some artists in there and they have new colors in their glass. And right. I just want to buy everything in this show. Mobiles. They're mobiles.
Mobiles. There you. Oh, my God. She came up with it before we went off. I'm so proud of you.
I know. Somebody's yelling it out there, right? Because I said it, the artist's name, Root. You know, mobiles. He does mobiles, Laura. Thank you. Thank you. I heard you.
Gosh. Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff I like. We went to Italy in May,
right?
And we went to the Murano factory, one of the Murano factories right. there, and we got a beautiful glass frame, and they put gold in everything, like real gold and stuff. Right. So things like that. Bob got a lion.
Of course.
So we love that. Just art. When you see something that speaks to you. It's funny.
That's the point I'm going to say right now. Your art speaks to me. Your art speaks to me. I absolutely love it. Every piece I've seen of yours, I want. It's that. I've got to buy it. And that's the case. Where do our listeners find you? First of all, where do we find you at Art Affair?
Art Affair, I'm in booth C27.
Okay.
And I always leave tickets at the ticket booth
right.
under my name, Laura Curtin Ross, C27. So if you are just thinking about going, not sure you want to go, just go to the ticket booth. I have like 20 tickets in there, and each ticket's for two people. And just ask for the tickets. Laura Curtin left me tickets under her name, and you can get in the show.
That is such a baller move, by the way. That really is. You know, that's very good fellas of you right there. Well, that's pretty cool.
Get them in, because if they don't shop with me, they're gonna find something else.
Right.
You know, they're going to find art, and maybe they won't buy art that day, but maybe they'll tell their friends about the art at Art Affair, and then the tickets are season passes.
Oh. So, even better. Better
yeah.
still.
Yeah, so they can give, like if they tell somebody, oh, we went to this show, it's so right. great, here's the ticket, you can get in for free.
Right.
And if they need two of them, you know, like for four people, ask for it.
There you go. And how do we find you online? I would love, first of all, them to see all of your art. And so, first of all, go there. But how do we find your art to purchase online?
Mostly it's all up. You know, us artists, I need a good web person, but I have a website, lcurtin.com. Okay. Very simple. It's my first initial L. My last name is spelled C-U-R-T-I-N.
Right.
So lcurtin.com, although I do have L Curtin with a, you know, I added a bunch of.
Of
so,
course, because you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But lcurtin.com. I have an Etsy store, of course, and I'm licensed on some other things. Plus, I'm also in a gallery right this minute at the Laguna Art Gallery,
okay.
which is in the Mission Viejo, or the Shops of Mission Viejo.
Okay.
They've moved over there.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
They just put up, they asked me for some artwork. Right. And so I didn't have exactly what they wanted. So I brought in a bunch of pieces, said, you know, just pick what you want. I'll take, and they took it all. And I went there on Saturday for artist reception, and they hung it all on a huge wall. All this, and it's older art.
Why know? Wouldn't they? See, that's my
that's
my
what
question.
Somebody
is,
said to me, right, why wouldn't they?
Right.
I don't know. It was just so surprising. I was so happy. they have the other pieces that didn't fit on the wall. They have them around and on another wall.
Yeah. If I could pull it off, I would have an entire wall at the house, a Laura Curtin Ross wall.
So
I swear
there,
I would.
So you can visit there too. But the Art Affair is, all my new. Everything's new
right.
over there at the Art Affair.
We'll see the goats.
The goats are on the wall.
All right, fantastic.
And hopefully they'll be going. But
Laura Curtin Ross, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. I love having you in.
Thank you for having me.
I'll look forward to seeing you. The Art Affair is open until September 5th, correct?
Right, till that last weekend. Yeah, the first weekend in September. We're open. It's 10 to 8 during the week and 10 to 9 on the weekends. And everybody should come see us. There's just amazing artists there.
And better still, you're leaving tickets at the door for people. So that's fantastic. Laura Curtin Ross, thank you so much. Pleasure to talk to you today. Exactly 8:30 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.